out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
We're in the second hour of American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 20th of January, almost the 21st. Inauguration Day must have been a rather boring scenario. Another scenario in place for another presidency to fully implement further the UN agenda in the America. And we're joined once again with Melody Cederstrom. Discount Gold and Silver Trading is her direction, and she supports this broadcast, and we're expanding a little bit more here on WBCQ on 7.415 tonight, and at First Amendment Radio as well. Melody, welcome back.
Hi, Chris. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's good to be back again, the second hour.
Yeah.
And a little bit different from the normal Thursday night program at 11 o'clock with WBCQ, so I hope the listeners enjoy this format, and if any of you have any comments, make sure you call me at 1-800-375-4188, because your input is important as we make changes with these different programs, because these programs are your programs, and so you do have a lot of say in what direction in which they go. So,
well, it just dawned on me, we just weren't spreading you out far enough, and I thought it was most important to do so, because there's much competition out there. There's a lot of people that can't trust, and I can understand why they can't trust, because, well, who are you going to trust when you want to buy both gold and silver, you know? I mean, once they got you, they got you, and that is the sad commentary to have.
Well, who are you going to trust? You're going to trust Discount Gold and Silver Trading.
Yes.
And because, you know what, Chris, I don't pull any punches, you know. I do state the truth. There's no point in misleading anyone, because it just gives the gold and silver a bad name. I've worked with people who have been burned by other dealers, and the next thing, they don't want to buy any gold. They want to stay away from it. A lot of dealers out there like to get people confused. They get confused on what product, they get confused on the prices, they get misled on the type of certification. There's three top firms that certify gold and silver coins when you're looking at the numismatic, and that is NGC, PCGS, and ICG. And those are the top three firms. Those are the ones I use. And if anybody tries to think that there's other firms out there, yes, there's other firms out there that certify coins, but they're not the top, they're not the best, and we only use the best here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And what I'd like to do is just give the closing prices on gold, silver, and platinum. Gold was down 70 cents today at $422.20. Silver was down 6 cents at $654. Platinum was down $4 at $872, and palladium was down $2, closing out at $200 even. But you can get misled in many different ways by the prices, on specials, on packages, and you really need to look for someone that's consistent in their prices, consistent in bringing you the truth about what is going on in the gold and silver markets. There's no carnival barking here. There's no bad-mouthing any different firms, or because I believe the best thing that I can do to my customers is compete, and compete in a professional manner, and that's also what we do here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading.
very important to keep that in mind, listeners, is the ability for you to trust. And the only way you gain trust is to try. And so you try Melody and see if you can trust her. That's the way I feel about it. And the situation is very ominous in this future. As this one-page ad in the Oklahoman, dated the 20th today, gold stampedes towards $500 an ounce. It appears that this is on the rise, and the concern is that people need to be backing themselves with something more than paper.
Absolutely, Chris. I mean, you know, we had the inauguration today.
Did you
Everything
see it?
Everything seems fine. Everybody, you know, all the financial channels, all of them are all giddy about everything that's going on. The dollar's getting stronger. But you know what? Nothing has changed over the past year. We still have tremendous budget deficits. We still have a housing bubble. We still have trade deficits. We hit, what, $60 billion? I mean, things out there are not a very pleasant world. There's a lot of things coming at us, and we might just be in a lull right now. We just might be in the middle of that hurricane in the eye where everything is quiet. But I don't foresee it to be there very long. And just like I said earlier, when gold was at $454, I was to the point where, you know, I didn't want it to go any higher because that would eliminate my ability to purchase what I want to purchase.
Really?
You know, so, I mean, a lot of listeners out there, do you want to buy gold when it's at $600?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to buy it when it's at $500? No, you don't. You want to buy it now. And
yeah.
You want to buy it when it's still affordable.
And how high do you think it could possibly go, depending on the situation with the economy? Worst case scenario.
You know what? There's reports out there, and there's people reporting that they expect gold to go to $3,400.
Wow.
You know, we're going to have to go, you know, and everything's relative. I mean, if you look at the inflation that we have and we look at the deficit that we have, gold, I mean, there's economists out there that gold can go to $5,000. But I'll take 500 first, and then I'll take 800, and so forth. But I know I want to buy it now, and I think since we saw gold pull back a little bit, it's a great time to add to your portfolio and to keep adding to it. It's just another opportunity to do so.
You've always been in the management end of discount gold and silver trading, right?
Yes, I have.
You've been the...
Well, I've pretty much done everything with discount gold and silver trading. I've I managed the books, I've managed the accounts, I've sold. So I've pretty much done everything with discount gold and silver trading.
So you've always been the brains behind discount gold and silver trading.
I won't take all the credit, but, you know.
You won't take the gift of gab credit, but you'll take all the rest of the credit. There you have it.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
But,
I mean, obviously you're in competition, and then that competition resents what you're doing.
I think so very much.
Yeah.
And I know the feedback that I've had from the listeners, they enjoy the programs that we bring them with Mr. Chapman and yourself. They've enjoyed the changes in the programming, and so many times I've heard that it has been better, it has improved.
Over the carnival barker.
Over the carnival barker. Over the carnival barkers. And you know what? I don't mind competing with anyone because I know how to compete. What I don't know how to do is carnival bark. And I don't think the listeners enjoy listening to that. But I think they do enjoy receiving a good priced product, a quality product, at a competitive price, and professionalism, truth, and I also care. I care about the customer's investment and their purchases.
It's so amazing that the truth is so hard to find today, and that's what we deal with, is the truth with what we do, to trust for your financial backup, I suppose that's the proper way to say it. This is the person to trust, as I've been associated with you since July. So it's working to a certain extent, and we just want to expand it so we can expand the information and get more coverage so more people learn and know about you and what I'm trying to do for our country. And it seems like this can work with your support, listeners out there. And keep in mind that number always, 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. Also, Melody will be having a new website very shortly, and that'll be something to look forward to as well.
Well, it certainly is, and I can't wait until it gets done. And, you know, you mentioned something about truth, Chris. You mentioned that, you know, we try to bring the listeners out there the truth. A lot of these programs out there try to bring the truth, but yet, you know what, something, truth is very hard still to find. And so I think the listeners do know when they hear it. And, again, I appreciate their past support, and I look forward to their future support. And
yeah.
I didn't want to change this direction, but I do want to make a comment about something that I saw on the Internet tonight. And we talked about this subject, too, and I'm going to go off gold for a little bit. But I had gone to the website, antiwar.com, and they just had, you know, we talk so much about Iraq. We talk so much about our troops losing their lives. We talk about the loss of life of the people in Iraq. But if for any of those of you who can go to the website, antiwar.com, there's a picture there. And it just stole my heart. There's a picture of a little child, and she's crying, and she's covered in blood. And our soldiers, there were six children in the back seat of a vehicle, and our soldiers ended up shooting their parents that were in the front seat. And it, as much as we talk about it, and as much as we see the different pictures, if anyone that just, it just kind of said it all.
Well, look, the situation over there is, any Iraqi with a weapon is the enemy now. And that's the mindset that these people have in our military, because what did Saddam Hussein's Republican Guard do at the very beginning? And I'm sure they did. I just said they would do it. But what did they do? They took the uniforms and burned them and put their civilian clothes on and intermingled with the population.
Yeah.
So any Iraqi with a firearm to protect himself, in our military's mind and the coalition's mind, is the enemy. And certainly, for years, Iraqis have been carrying weapons all the time, which leads me to believe something very suspicious about the information we've been receiving about Saddam Hussein being so evil. If he was so evil, why didn't somebody bump him off?
Yes.
Because somebody could have bumped him off.
Yes.
And that's what concerns me more than anything else, is the fact that we don't get the truth. And if our troops blew away the parents of these children, they were probably frightened. They didn't know what to, you know, they maybe they're given orders to shoot and ask questions later.
I've read so many articles where these checkpoints, where so many of them, they might not hear the stop. They might not, maybe they don't understand. And I'm not taking anything away from our soldiers. I mean, my gosh, if I was over there and having, you know, when you don't know who your enemy is, yeah, you know, they're fighting for their lives, too.
They're pawns, too, you know what I mean?
Yes. But, I don't know, the picture, I mean, I've seen pictures, I know what's going on, I know what's true, I know what's not true, but if anybody can go to that and see that picture, it just makes you speechless.
Gut-wrenching.
It is, very much so.
Yeah.
But I guess I needed to get that off my chest so I could sleep tonight. So. But with that, I appreciate it.
Okay.
And 1-800-375-4188. And you have a great program, Chris.
Thank you, Melody. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye now.
Melody Cedarstrom, 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. We're going to give her more exposure, and in hopes of you getting more exposure to her, to support her and support yourself in your precious metals purchasing and numismatic directions. Before I get back to Tom Bearden and his information, Charlotte Isherbeat, the author of Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, she wrote a letter to Congressman Pelosi from her neighborhood in Bath, Maine, and she stated, "My name is Charlotte Isherby, and I live in Bath, Maine. I am the author of the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, a chronological paper trail. I served as senior policy advisor in the U.S. Department of Education during President Reagan's first term, was relieved of my duties for leaking to the press a very important grant related to technology to which I felt the public should have access. My background also includes employment by the U.S. Department of State from 1956 to 1964, working in Soviet and Middle Eastern affairs and overseas in South Africa and in Belgium. I am presently a freelance writer. You may recall meeting me on Christmas Eve about 5 p.m. as you were crossing Powell Street in San Francisco. I was visiting my son, who lives in San Francisco. I believe you and I had just come out of Saks Fifth Avenue. I wouldn't assume you would remember people who came up to you with questions out of the blue, but since it was Christmas Eve, I figure you might well recall our meeting. You were most gracious in taking time to talk to me, a perfect stranger, and it is for that reason that I am taking the liberty of writing to you. I identified myself as a former conservative Republican turned independent and said to you that I was very concerned over the war in Iraq and the use by the Bush administration of 9/11 to get unconstitutional legislation passed which endangers the civil rights of Americans. I then asked if you were aware of the Bush administration's hiring of former Soviet KGB chiefs, generals Yevgeny Primakov and Alexander Karpov, to assist Homeland Security and DARPA in the design of an internal passport for Americans. You seemed surprised, but did seem to recognize the name Primakov. The subject of hiring of these former KGB chiefs has occupied much of my time for almost 2 years since my two senators from Maine, Snow and Collins, refused to respond with a yes or no answer to that question. I have waited almost 2 years for a response from Senator Snow and 6 months for a response from Senator Collins. I and a colleague, a public school teacher, have written many letters to both senators and have visited Senator Snow's Portland, Maine office 2 times. And finally, her chief of staff, Cheryl, the former mayor of a town in Maine, regretfully explained to us that there was nothing the state office could do for us. Since I assume you will be interested in this case, I am taking the liberty of forwarding to you my latest article and the first published by the major media related to the subject. And finally, a response to that published letter from Michael Bopp, staff director and chief counsel for Senator Collins. Eventually, the fact that the editor of the opinion page of the Times Recorded or Times of Record of Brunswick, Maine, had the courage to publish my article forced Mr. Bopp to react. Great. The Times Record has a fairly important readership due to its location in mid-coast Maine, the home of Bath Iron Works, which is about shipbuilding, Boyden College, and Brunswick Naval Air Station, which is involved in the war in Iraq. You may also wish to go to my website, and certainly, listeners, that is in other links of our website, AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K. It is the DeliberateDumbingDown.com. And you click on articles to read articles I have written on this subject, which have been posted on Internet sites over the past 18 months. I believe you will agree that the hiring of two ex-KGB chiefs, one of whom, Primakov, is very close to Saddam Hussein and was in Baghdad a couple of weeks prior to the U.S. invasion, is very important. There is also much to this story which has not been touched by the media, except very recently by Bill Gertz in his article entitled, quote, "Pentagon Oust Official Who Tied Russia, Iraq Arms," end quote. The Washington Times, 12:30, December 30th, 04. Gertz discussed the firing of John Snow at Defense, who exposed the fact that two former Soviet generals, could one of them be Primakov, had been in Iraq prior to our mission to help Hussein move weapons of mass destruction out of the country. I also forward that information to you. This whole story reminds me of the U.S. government's hiring of Nazi scientists, etc., after World War II, as the French would say, plus Q charge, plus Q cast, da da da. Thank you for taking the time to read this email and the enclosures, which will be emailed separately. Okay, and that was by Charlotte Isabeat. Happy New Year. And then we see here those who say we are safer are wrong, by Charlotte Isabeat, dated January 13th of 2005. And listen carefully to this. In my humble opinion, Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, should not be allowed to offer lessons in civics at Mount Ararat Middle School or any other school. And that was December 8th. Senator Collins offers lessons in civics. Her recent and very important role, along with Senator Joseph Lieberman, Democrat of Connecticut, in passage of the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004, proves that she knows little about either the U.S. Constitution or Bill of Rights. Included in this legislation is an internal passport system that should send chills up the backs of Americans accustomed to the freedom to travel by air, plane, rail, car, or foot. On December 7th, Representative Ron Paul, Republican of Texas, said the following regarding the internal passport provision found in the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004. Quote, those who are willing to allow the government to establish a Soviet-style internal passport system because they think it will make us safer are terribly mistaken. Subjecting every citizen to surveillance and screening points actually will make us less safe. Not in the least, because it will divert resources away from tracking and apprehending terrorists and deploy them against innocent Americans. Every conservative who believes in constitutional restraints on government should reject the authoritarian national ID and the nonsensical intelligence bill itself, end quote. Senator Robert Byrd, Democrat of West Virginia, said this legislation, Congress acted like, quote, pygmies in the battlefield of history, end quote, rushing to judgment and passing a bad piece of legislation. Quote, like whipped dogs in the face of political pressure, end quote. Next year, the Department of Homeland Security, another monstrous waste of money and resources, will begin issuing so-called uniformity regulations to the sovereign states of the Union, requiring that all driver's licenses and birth certificates meet some federal standards along with biometric security provisions. Roadblock checkpoints will then be set up, and we, the people, for the first time since the Republic was birthed, just like the slaves in Stalinist Russia, will be required to show your papers. And people, I said this immediately after 9/11 happened, there will be roadblock engineers in the future. That's what I said way back on September 11, 2001, when I came on the air that night on Genesis Communications Network. I said, roadblock engineers are on the horizon for this country. And here it comes. Maine citizens also should know that both Senators Olympia Snow, Republican of Maine, and Senator Collins are aware of, but unwilling to discuss, the hiring in 2003 by the Bush administration's Department of Homeland Security, Office of Information Awareness, of two ex-KGB chiefs, Secret Service in the Soviet Union, by the names of General Alexander Karpov and General Yevgeny Primakov. Primakov was also Premier of Russia in the late 1990s, and a close associate of Saddam Hussein, and was in Baghdad 1 month prior to the U.S. invasion, advising Hussein on how to deal with the United States. Question, why would the administration hire such infamous thugs and enemies of our country? Answer, to assist in the development of an internal passport for Americans. The information about Karpov and Primakov was given to me 18 months ago by two very credible independent sources, a former covert intelligence agent in the United States and a well-known journalist and author in England who served as economic advisor to Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, along with several other of the senator's constituents. I have been asking both of them for a yes or no reply as to whether such hiring did take place. It has been 18 months since I initially wrote to Senator Snow. There have been numerous follow-up letters and emails and no visits and two visits to her Portland office. It has been 6 months since I wrote to Senator Collins. Neither senator has reported to my request. Their unwillingness to provide a simple yes or no answer can be interpreted in only one way. I leave it up to the reader to come to his or her own conclusion. And that is by Charlotte Thompson Iserby, and certainly a great ally of mine as well. And it's unfortunate to have these thoughts in place. It's unfortunate to know what's going on. It's really unfortunate that things are the way they are. But it's even more unfortunate not to be talking about it like I do. Three nights a week now, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, at 9 p.m. Central Time to 11 p.m. Central Time. And we are on WBCQ right now on this second hour on Thursday night. So you listening on shortwave missed the beginning of Tom Bearden's information and the report to a man named Jack. Tsunami, man eventuated, is the question. And I'll pick it up where I left off at the conclusion of the first hour. LUNEV also gives a few, and there are others, of the ways that Russians use to insert the nuclear weapons all over the U.S. in our major population centers. Anyone could insert just about anything in the standard shipping containers, and the U.S. trucking industry would load the container on their trucks and deliver it on site to the waiting terrorists, i.e. businessmen. The relative reliability was 98%. So insertion was relatively easy because only about 1% of the containers were being examined anywhere. Most are still not checked, and she's absolutely right about that. Also, even eventually, Russia pulled back her nuclear-tipped missiles from the Ukraine. More than 200 of those deployed Soviet nuclear warheads did not make it back to Russia, but came out, quote-unquote, missing. They were not, quote-unquote, missing. They were stolen and sold on the black market by the generals and the soldiers to prevent themselves and their families from starving. So more than 200 nuclear weapons passed into other hands from that one incident alone. The Al-Qaeda already has quietly informed the Arab world that it has some nuclear weapons. Some of 200 KT already inserted in U.S. cities. The number is probably at least about 15, and it may be slowly increasing. About 100 suitcase nuclear weapons also came up missing, etc. Bin Laden bought 20 of them with appropriate technicians also. Bin Laden did buy some other nukes as well. So did some other hostile nations and groups. It is almost certain that the Yakuza also purchased a few. The Yakuza also has inserted portable versions of negative energy EMP weapons into the U.S., which can be used at a distance and carried in the back of an SUV. And we'll pick this thing up, and I'll have to continue with this on Monday night. I think we should all hear Tom Bearden's dissertation of the whole big picture in place. And this is a 17-page report, and I'm on page 5. So we probably won't be finished with it tonight, but I'll conclude it on Tuesday night when I come back. Don't forget Monday night, Melody Cedarstrom and Darren Weeks, the webmaster for AmericanExpose.com, on Monday night.
opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us. First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. But you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner, and please support Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Call her at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188, and thank her for supporting my broadcast. Chris Gerner's American Exposé, 800-375-4188 is the number for Discount Gold and Silver Trading. That's 800-375-4188. We're trying to expand the knowledge and information, so you will help to support her and yourselves as well when you support her by purchasing numismatic coins from Discount Gold and Silver Trading. As I pick up Tom Bearden's information, and once again, this is from him. I think it needs to be heard. As I said before, I will continue with it on Tuesday night when I return, because I'm sure I won't be finished with it tonight. But I think you need to hear this. Just because this man has done a lot of research, and he comes highly recommended by certain people, and then other people don't. But once again, this is the fact of the situation. You don't know who to trust today. You can trust yourself in your research, and that's as far as I take it. And that's when I deal with documentation on a continual basis. This is Tom Bearden's opinion, and I continue. The Yakuza also has inserted portable versions of negative energy EMP weapons into the U.S., which can be used at a distance and carried in the back of an SUV. These are to be used against such targets as refineries, nuclear power plants, coal and gas-fired plants, hydroelectric plants, etc. In one quick, high-powered negative energy EMP pulse, the electronic controls, particularly all the solid waste or solid state stuff, is destroyed. Now consider the fact on a major infrastructure target, and the strategic nature of the threat is immediately realized. If the pulse width is made just a little wider, then the human operators in the targeted buildings and facilities are also instantly killed, falling like limp rags and never having even a nerve cell fire thereafter. Three 200 kt nuclear weapons detonated in the dirt and dirty, say, in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles areas will wreak havoc on major population and industrial areas of the U.S. Such as that is going to happen, at least three to five of them will probably be successfully detonated. If the FSB slash KGB detonates a few of their own inserted nuclear weapons on site in the U.S., a dozen such nuclear explosions in our large cities could easily occur. These are capabilities right now. In a study done for Congress, it was shown that a single two-piece Cessna or Piper Cub aircraft with two terrorists on board, one flying and one spraying anthrax spores out of the side on a calm night over Washington, D.C., and with 100 kilograms of anthrax spores being sprayed out and a common agricultural hand sprayer available from Home Depot or Kmart, will produce from 1 to 3 million casualties. When breathed in, the anthrax is deadly lethal. Once symptoms emerge, essentially treatment is useless. So almost all these 1 to 3 million casualties will fall into triage class 4, black category. They will not even be treated, but just set aside and allowed to die. Now comes the sad part. With the populated area contaminated by anthrax spores, decontamination will be necessary, and time is of the essence. Else it will be spread all over, and many more millions will die. There are harsh sprays that will kill the anthrax spores, etc., so the entire area will have to be sprayed several times to ensure sufficient decontamination. Each spraying may kill an additional 40,000 Americans, those with lung and breathing disorders, little babies who do not yet have strong immune systems, old people, mothers, feeble persons, or in hospitals and nursing homes, etc. The very part of our population that a soldier would give his life to defend. So we may be forced to kill an additional 120,000 or so of our own people, in a heart-wrenching decision that will have to be made by the president himself. Oh, boy. With scalar interferometry techniques honed for decades in the microwave radiation of U.S. Embassy in Moscow, which was responsible for the deaths of three ambassadors and countless health changes and disease indications, there is a technique available where the immune system of a targeted populace can be tricked ahead of an actual biological pathogen attack into erroneously detecting they are being attacked by, say, two dozen pathogens at once. This causes each immune system to spread all its finite resources along two dozen possibilities, so that any additional possibility can have little or no immune system resources marshaled against it. Hence, the quote-unquote normal immune systems have little capability left at all to resist opportunistic infections. Therefore, every opportunistic pathogen in that environment has a field day in the populace with, quote, spread immune target simply can now no longer resist disease attack, even though the immune systems are still normal and not damaged at all. They're just, quote-unquote, disoriented and spread. This is the mechanism that was used to generate the Gulf War disease in many of our veterans in the first Gulf War. Since our intelligence analysts and our scientists still use and uphold electrical engineering, which incorporates very little physics, they have never, even to this day, comprehended the actual disease induction mechanisms used against the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. And they never have comprehended the Gulf War disease, and will not, because they so stoutly and stubbornly cling to the horribly antiquated, obsolete, and terribly outdated, hoary old electrical engineering model. That beast still assumes the old lithiferous material ether, which was falsified in 1987, more than a century ago. None of the equations were ever changed to rid them of that material, either wired into them or by the old guys. The model still assumes a flat space-time, or and falsified since 1916, and an inert vacuum falsified since at least 1930. It assumes that every EM field, EM potential, and joule of EM energy in the universe is and has been freely created by the associated source changes right out of nothing at all, in total violation of the conservation of energy law. It has never calculated the actual E field in space, e.g., but only the resulting force E field created in charged static material by the interaction of that actual E field. Even then, it only calculates the point intensity of that ongoing interaction with static charged matter. There is not now, and there never has been, a single electrical engineering department, professor, or textbook that actually calculates an E field in space, although all purport to do so. And that piece of highly antiquated and erroneous science is still taught and upheld at all universities, and by the NAS, NAE, NSF, DOE, National Labs, NIH, CDC, etc. Barring a phase from Tesla, it is, quote, one of the most inexplicable aberrations of the scientific mind that has ever been recorded in history, end quote. But it guarantees that our electrical engineers are unable to build circuits that actually use the tremendous free energy flows from all the source changes in every circuit, where all that energy flow has been and is being freely extracted from the local seething vacuum by the source changes. That way the cartels keep that power meter on their houses, the gas pump meter on the gas pumps, and pollute and destroy the biosphere while reaping trillions of energy dollars worldwide and continuing the suppression of impoverished, suffering people worldwide. Is the number for Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. She's there right now waiting for your call. 800-375-4188. Call her and thank her for sponsoring this broadcast. Back to Tom Bearden and his dissertation about the future. Here's how straightforward it can be to do free energy. Simply increase the voltage or scalar potential of a circuit while simultaneously preventing any circuit from flowing. That immediately and freely changes the entire collected potential energy of that circuit. Without any work except for a tiny bit of switching, the energy change can be made enormous. From any given potential V, as much energy W, which is watt, was desired, can be collected freely by changes Q by the silly little standard equation W equals VQ. Give a sufficient collecting charge, a 12-volt battery can freely furnish enough energy to power New York City in theory. Then once the pinned circuit, or no circuit, is freely potentialized, simply disconnect the external source of potential so that it is no longer connected to the circuit as a load whenever circuit flows. Recomplete that open circuit with a diode and a resistor so current can only circulate in one direction. You have not depleted the external source at all, since it furnished no current but only potential voltage. That is known as regauging. Actually, it is asymmetrical regauging, and is guaranteed work free by the standard gauge freedom axiom of the quantum field theory. Now, with the source of potential not degraded and now disconnected, allow circuit to flow. That circuit will freely discharge or dissipate that freely collected energy in its losses and loads. In short, it will deliver some free power to the load or to a capacitor to charge it up for free. Now, reiterate the cycle. When the capacitors are charged, switch them away to power a load normally while continuing to charge another bank of capacitors. Keep doing this exchange by switching so that the system freely charges batteries and subsequently freely power the loads. Any electrical engineering department that cannot work out and build that type of system needs to go study physics and quit teaching. Turn a few sharp young grad students and postdocs loose on them, and they can build it and adjust it without much trouble. EM energy occurs in steady, free flows of real EM energy flowing continuously from every dipole and every charge. Every EM field and potential is already a set of such flows, and that has been proven for a century. That we have not learned how to just intercept some of these free energy flow and costs so little, a little switching and control, but a head cleared of insane Lorentz symmetry and Lorentz invariance, and our scientists worship and insist on, and use it without destroying the source dipole or source charge is inexplicable. But with the prevailing CME / EE model continually forced upon our students, a giant energy crisis and supreme strategic vulnerability has been created and propagated by our very own scientific community, which is totally to blame. They are also directly to blame for the continued devastation and pollution of the environment. So the FSB, which is the Federal Security Bureau, / KGB and Yakuza, are focused upon a grave U.S. strategic vulnerability, are horribly antiquated and totally cantankerous centralized electrical power system. And they are also focused on the induction and use of BW weapons, since our national capability to handle mass casualties is tremendously small and inadequate and antiquated, in spite of brave public announcements to the contrary. A single Yakuza interferometer can periodically and continually tickle the U.S. centralized power grid, laying it down to never function again and keeping it down very easily. Piece of cake. The same interferometer can alternate onto the control systems of oil refineries, destroying them easily and shutting down much of the refinery capability. The network-centric or electrical engineering communications systems being rammed down the throat of our military is also deadly vulnerable. A single scalar interferometer can lay the entire system in the dust easily, anytime desired. The Yakuza interferometers can tickle the populace in advance. And that same anthrax spray attack will produce about three times the results that the study group determined without considering any such combat force amplifier factor. In short, with spread immune systems in the targeted populace, the same BW anthrax spray attack will then produce from 3 to 9 million casualties, almost all of whom will die. By the efforts of two men and one small aircraft, one hand sprayer, 100 kilos of anthrax spores, and a few hours' time just flying around and spraying. Cheap, easy, or of course, such spraying can also be conducted from vehicles moving through streets. One sees the damage that five teams can do in five strikes on five U.S. large population centers simultaneously. Even with one strike aborted or intercepted and destroyed, the result of the other four augmented attacks is an almost unthinkable blow to the United States, with 12 to 36 million U.S. casualties, almost all of whom will die. And that level of strategic damage can rapidly be achieved by 10 men, 5 very small two-piece aircraft, 500 kilos of anthrax spores, a few hours, and just plain determination. In one combined operation, as can be seen, one does not need fleets of aircraft carriers, ICBMs, strategic bombers, and massed tank forces to destroy the United States. So do the terrorists have the necessary anthrax? You bet. Note the extraordinary high-quality anthrax in letters mailed to selected targets after 9/11. Those spores almost certainly came directly from the old Soviet program, and they were obtained right off Vos Island for peanuts. Vos, V-O-Z. That mailing was just a little test to ascertain that, were a mass mailing used, would it hamper the U.S. and tie it down? The answer is a resounding yes. Again, Google on Vos Island and on Anthrax Island, etc. And be astounded at what you uncover. In other words, go to Google, punch in Vos Island and on Anthrax Island, and apparently, according to Tom Bearden, you'll be astounded by what you uncover. Vos Island today is actually secured by U.S. troops to prevent any more of that from happening. But the damage was already done, and the barn door has been shut long after the horses were already out. At Vos, V-O-Z, one could just shovel up the sand in certain places, wash out the sand, and one had the highest quality anthrax spores ever made. Or one could pay a pittance to the natives, and they would do it for you. How many tons did the terrorists take out of where they were? It was finally closed off and secured by the U.S., whatever they wished to take out of there. With the old Soviet Union empire collapsed in 1989, the FSB/KGB was forced to move to a new tack on its struggle to destroy America. The Russian mafia also works directly for that old diehard communist faction of the FSB-KGB. Via the Russian mafia, the FSB-KGB brought in the Yakuza Shinreko, who had been strongly seeking the Tesla weapons, i.e. the scalar interferometers. After a little negotiation, the KGB leased them some of the large strategic scalar interferometers on site in Russia. The Shinrikyo contingent set up a university in the outskirts of Moscow where the technical aspects were taught to the Yakuza Shireko teams. Those interferometers and rogue Japanese teams then took over the weather engineering operations over North America and gradually elsewhere. The purpose was to get the Yakuza trained and equipped with elementary super weapons capable of destroying the U.S. The Yakuza regard themselves as the last of the samurai, and they believe the greatest dishonor to them in all Japanese history was the U.S. defeat of Japan in World War II and the dropping of the atom bomb on Japan by the U.S. In their cultural outlook, this greatest shame can only be erased by destroying every living American man, woman, and child, and so that is their avowed goal. By equipping them with super weapons and super weapon technology, the FSB KGB ensured that they would have the strategic capability to readily destroy the U.S., and so that insurance has been met. We're rapidly running out of time. There is more to the plan being pursued by the Yakuza, but the above is sufficient for our purposes here. The Yakuza then carried the scalar interferometry technology back to Japan into their own facilities and produce such weapons themselves today, including portable versions. Anyone having scalar interferometers also meets the negative energy phonem methodology and acquires and develops negative energy EMP technology as well. And we'll just pick this up where I left off on Tuesday night at the beginning of the show. And we'll just chronicle everything that Tom Bearden's put together for this letter. And I just think it's for your own information. I think you should be aware. And certainly, with environmental modification the way it is, the reality in place that's going on, understanding the aerial spraying that's going on, and how do you understand that? I don't know. At this juncture, we're going to have some photographs up on the website of contrails and chemtrails, and we're going to show these photographs that are very well chronicled, and see what kind of conclusions we can come to about this. We're talking about contrails or chemtrails. Hard to determine at this point in time. But certainly the spraying that's been going on has been obvious to me. The Endangered Species Act is well in place. The opportunity for creating more endangered species has been chronicled in the paper and elsewhere. The direction is thoroughly in place to create more of this Hegelian dialectic on us and at us. And that is the situation with the tsunami that just happened, bringing more clout to the UN system, as I said from the very first when I came back on the air. This is the first thing that's going to happen. The UN is going to gain more prestige out of this. And that's exactly what's happening right now. And a lot of that information has been bundled up onto AmericanExpose.com. The webmaster, Darren Weeks, has a broadcast on my second hour on Monday night. Melody Cederstrom has the first hour. Melody Cederstrom came on this second hour. She came on this first hour. She is Discount Gold and Silver Trading, and she needs your support because she's supporting me, and we want to expand and move on and build the broadcast so we can get the truth out to more and more people, listeners. That is the bottom line. 800-375-4188 is the number for Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. She's there right now for your call, 800-375-4188. Thank you for supporting this broadcast, and I will talk to you Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central Time on WBCQ. Good night, and God bless you all.